Okay, let's get started. Just one more thing. I'm going to encourage everyone on this call to make sure they have a pad of paper and a pen to take notes. I believe very strongly that the more senses we get involved in working towards a goal we want to achieve, the easier it will be to achieve that desired goal. You're going to get some great content today that is definitely going to improve your life, especially in regards to your knee pain. This call is scheduled to last 60 minutes, so you have an idea of what time we will be wrapping up this teleseminar, which will be approximately 2:05 Eastern Standard Time. Now, here is my short little disclaimer. None of what I am going to share with you today is to be taken as medical advice. This approach is what I used to get myself out of knee pain that I learned over the past 9 years or so. These are truths as I know them. Use what you like and disregard the rest. If you have any concerns as to what you are to do, please consult your licensed healthcare professional. Okay. Welcome to the Knee Pain Guru Knee Pain Teleseminar. My name is Bill Paravano, also known as the Knee Pain Guru. But before we start, I'd like to tell you a little bit about myself. This happened almost 10 years ago, and it doesn't quite seem that long, actually in a few months. It was the last week of December in 1998, right before New Year's. A friend asked me if I would like to go skiing. I have not skied much in my life. However, I was up to doing new things, and I thought I would give it a shot. On the very first run down the hill, I hit a patch of ice with my left ski, which caused me to do sort of a split that caused me to fall. On the way down, I heard a pop in my left knee. The pain was excruciating, and I did everything I could to keep from getting sick and passing out. Luckily, the friend I went with was a chiropractor, which was nice because after the medics skied me to the lodge, he put my knee back into place. So much for my skiing adventure, and I went home to nurse my wounds. I ended up hearing that pop another 3 more times over the next 5 months playing judo, volleyball, and softball. The last time was the worst. I was playing shortstop, fielded a ground ball, and threw to first base. The next thing I remember, I was on the ground screaming and holding my knee to my chest. The pain was horrible. I went to the doctor, and yes, I am stubborn. My learning curve can be quite flat at times, some more than others. Anyhow, John Ellis is the orthopedic doctor for the University of Louisville sports teams in Louisville, Kentucky, and came highly recommended. Dr. Ellis diagnosed me with a torn ACL, which is an anterior cruciate ligament. The ligaments connect bone to bone, and this specific ligament kept my knee from coming out of the socket when I did any side-to-side or twisting motions. Since this ligament was no longer present in my knee, I was hard-pressed to play any more sports in my life unless I had surgery to repair this ligament. So I scheduled surgery for a month later. It turned out what was left of my ACL was only 30% attached at one end, and I had a couple of pieces of torn meniscus, or cartilage, that were removed as well. The reconstructive surgery on my left knee was followed up by several months of difficult physical therapy. The surgery and the therapy both went well. However, my recovery was not like I thought it was going to be. After the physical therapy was finished, I still continued to have lots of pain, tension, and swelling in my left knee joint. Dr. Ellis said there was nothing more that he or the physical therapist was able to do, and that would be something I would always have to live with. I didn't buy it, yet I had no proof that my knee could be any different. And at the very same time, I had experts telling me that my situation was not going to change. So I began my search. I tried everything to deal with what was going on in my knee. The discomfort, the pain, the tension, the swelling, the annoying feeling of just bending it, sitting down, standing up. And I went and I tried about every alternative therapy I could find. I tried chiropractic, Rolfing, and deep tissue massage, which are very physical types of body work. And some of the more subtle therapies, like Reiki, hands-on healing, healing touch, and prayer. All of them worked for a short period of time, and some change would take place. However, after a while, the pain and swelling would return again. I did learn a lot in the process about what worked and what didn't regarding water, diet, exercise, strength training, breathing, and positive thinking. It was a unique combination of all these practices that began to yield results in my knee and the rest of my body that got rid of the pain, tension, and swelling in my knee, as well as the rest of my body, never for it to return. I got some incredible results. So much so, I decided to dedicate my life to helping others realize the same benefits I did. The result was a quick, simple, and easy, organized, step-by-step method that could be taught to anyone. For the past 7 years, I've been utilizing it in my practice, helping scores of people overcome injuries even more serious than the one I had. Once again, we're going to get into the meat and potatoes, so to speak, of this call, and I want to encourage everyone to get a pad of paper and a pen to take notes. I believe strongly in the more senses you involve in learning a new skill, the easier it will be to retain the information provided. This call is going to provide some great content that is definitely going to improve your life. So, there are 5 key points to getting over your knee pain that I want to cover with you on the call today. The first one is water. The second is exercise. The third is stretching. The fourth is breathing. And the fifth is diet. My ebook, Stop Your Knee Pain Now, focuses on the breathing, exercise, and stretching aspects of what I'm going to cover today. This is so important, because even though they are 3 separate topics, they are all inseparably tied together. I will go into more depth about these topics that are in my ebook later on in the call. Also, I will get to questions that are coming in, and I will get to them later as well. However, first, I'd like to tell you a story. And it focuses around cars. And I know, what do cars have to do with knee pain? Which is a very valid question. Just bear with me a moment, and you will see how this all ties together. I am going to guess that you probably have a car, and if you don't, then I will assume that you know pretty much how a car works. Basically, everything in your car is dependent on everything else in your car in order for it to operate properly. The engine needs to be in good working order. Gas needs to be in the tank. Tires need to be inflated. You get the picture. When something goes wrong in your car, it is important to take it to a mechanic who will diagnose what is going on with your car to be able to fix it. Usually there is an indication of something on your dashboard that will be triggered to let you know that your car needs to be fixed. Take your oil light, for example. When that goes off, it would be important for you or your mechanic to check underneath the hood to see if you need to put more oil to keep it running smoothly and avoid burning up your engine. There may be something even more pressing which might be lurking underneath your hood as a result of your oil light coming on in your car. Now take that same scenario of the oil light coming on, and instead of looking underneath the hood to find out what is wrong, we go underneath the dash and pull the fuse for the check oil light and continue to drive your car like you always have. What do you think would happen then? That's right, your car's performance would probably decrease significantly to a point of breaking down where it might not even run. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense now, does it? Like the old saying goes, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. However, that is exactly what you do when you ignore what is going on in your knees and when you experience knee pain and decide to take painkillers and keep pushing yourself on. This is exactly what I would like to talk to you about today with regards to your knees. How can you look at your knee pain differently and begin to address what is going on, quote-unquote, underneath the hood? Your body is the dashboard. Like the dashboard on a car, your body's nervous system lets you know when something is going on that needs to be paid attention to. There are lots of indicators that many times are glazed over in an attempt to keep up with the busy schedules you maintain on a daily, weekly, monthly, and even yearly basis. Indicators like fatigue, tension, stiff necks, stiff backs, sore shoulders, tight jaws, headaches, and countless others, including pain in your knees. You can probably think of a few I haven't covered you are feeling right now as you listen to this call. The list goes on and on. The thing is, the one that most people finally pay attention to is pain. Even then, we are taught to suck it up, walk it off, ignore it, or just do it, not to mention a whole host of other lines you have been brought up with since you were young. Going back to the car analogy, at the point where you are experiencing pain, you have already crawled underneath the dashboard, pulled the fuse for the check oil light. You really have no idea what is happening to your body, and you are in a panic to find someone who will take away the pain. Many times you see your only option is pain-killing drugs and shots, or possibly even surgery. This is the point where you are looking at damage control, choosing the lesser of two evils instead of making healthy, informed choices that have your best interests in mind. I know you would like to make better choices. However, the deck is stacked against you. Nowhere out there is anyone trying to help you recognize what your body is saying, let alone telling you what to do after you find out what it tells you. However, in looking at and understanding your body differently, there are some basic fundamental things you can begin to do to get control of the situation and take back your life so it's not overrun by your knee pain. Now I'm going to go over those key points I told you about earlier, so you can begin to get a grip on your knee pain and no longer have that fear of the unknown. The first point I'm going to cover is water. And you are made up of about 80% of it. Water is key to all life here on this planet. It flushes out toxins in your body and keeps your organ systems running smoothly. If this percentage falls too low, you begin to bring yourself into danger of dehydration. Some of the symptoms of dehydration of only up to 2% of your body's water weight are as follows: thirst, loss of appetite, dry skin, skin flushing, dark-colored urine, dry mouth, fatigue or weakness, chills, and head rushes. And that's only 2%. When that dehydration gets up to 5%, you can expect to see increased heart rate, increased respiration, decreased sweating, decreased urination, increased body temperature, extreme fatigue, muscle cramps, headaches, nausea, and tingling of the limbs. For the sake of this seminar today, I'm only going to look at a water loss of 2% from a normal person. So let's look at some real numbers on this. Let's say you have a 200-pound person that, as we said before, is 80% water, which means you are looking at about 160 pounds worth of water weight. A 2% loss in water will equal about 3.2 pounds in water weight. On a normal day, in normal humidity, a person will lose approximately 2.5 quarts of water. This water weight includes water loss from breathing, sweating, and urinating. Water weighs 8 pounds per gallon. So you are looking to lose about 5 pounds a day alone just in water weight from a normal person on a normal day. Okay, you might say. So Bill, why are you telling me this, and what does this have anything to do with my knee pain? Well, here's the deal. When you do not drink enough water, the internal state of your body becomes more acidic, closer to that of battery acid. It's all tying into that car again. This acidic state sits in different parts of your body depending on your physical makeup. If this acidic state is hanging out in your knees, it begins to irritate the nerve endings in your knees, sending signals to your brain, resulting in your experience of knee pain. This is actually not a very new concept. There has been a medical doctor who has been treating his patients, and many of them with knee pain, for over 20 years with just plain tap water. A book he wrote that has a tremendous amount of information on this topic is You're Not Sick, You're Thirsty, by Dr. F. Batmengeledi. This is definitely a book you want to check out to help you on your path to pain-free knees. Once again, that book is You're Not Sick, You're Thirsty, by Dr. F. Batmengeledi. That's BATMANGHELIDJ. That covers it for point number one. The next point I want to cover is on exercise, or specifically the exercises you do to address the pain in your knees. When we begin a movement, this movement is initiated by your muscles and is kept on going by your tendons and ligaments. Quick anatomy lesson here. Tendons connect muscle to bone, and ligaments connect bone to bone. This is so very important that you remember this when thinking about your knees. Once again, tendons connect muscle to bone, and ligaments connect bone to bone. The knee is a joint where two, actually three bones are coming together to form the knee joint. The next time you go to a doctor's office or to your physical therapist, ask them to see an anatomy chart of the muscular system of the human body. If you look at this chart of the lower half of the human body, you will find that there are no muscles to be found in the front around the knees. You might find this a little surprising, actually. However, it's the truth. And if you're in front of a computer right now, you can double-check me by doing a Google search on muscle anatomy chart to see what I'm talking about. You can get a blow-up of it on your screen, and you can see all the muscles are in red, and the tendons and the ligaments and the bone are in white. And when you look at the anatomy chart, in and around the knees, it's only tendons and bone. So a good question is, how can I build up the muscles around the front of the knee to address my knee pain if there aren't any muscles there? That's a really good question. The key here is in the tendons and the ligaments I mentioned a little bit ago. This is what truly needs to be strengthened in order to address the pain, tension, swelling, and discomfort in your knees. You see, the way the body works in strengthening the tendons and the ligaments require you to first fatigue the muscles. Once the muscles are out of the way, then the real work begins. It takes approximately 7 seconds for muscles to fatigue. If you are questioning me on this one, think of the last time you were at the gym and saw some guy trying to bench press a lot of weight, you know, doing their max. They will first get the bar off the rack and bring it down to their chest before they begin to push the weight back up. If they don't get it back up within a certain amount of time, usually 7 seconds, they are not going to be able to push it up at all. Go ahead and time it. 1001, 1002, 1003, all the way up to 1007. So getting back to your knee pain, this is just as important when you are doing an exercise for your knees. However, you are looking to fatigue the muscles so you can begin to build up the tendons and ligaments in and around the knees. I go into a ton more detail about this point in my ebook, Stop Your Knee Pain Now. Okay, that's it for point number two. Point number three is on stretching. Think about how most knee injuries happen. A short twist or turn or misstep, stopping too fast, or a quick jerk to the side suddenly sends a shooting pain in your knee, or going skiing when you're not supposed to. When you think about stretching, especially when your knee is painful, tight, and swollen, trying to heal after an injury like this, none of the conventional stretching can actually get to the place your knee needs to be stretched in order to address the discomfort at its source. Most of the stretching taught today will teach you to stretch your hamstrings, your calves, your quads, or your quadriceps, which are the muscles in the front upper part of your leg, and the muscles on the insides of your legs. However, once again, like in point number two regarding exercises, you are not getting to the places in the knee joint that need to be stretched in order to gain the flexibility that you need to get over your knee injury you are experiencing, or to make it more resistant to injury down the road. The key here, once again, is in the tendons and the ligaments. How can you get to those places that are so difficult to get to? The places that I'm talking about is in the joint. So once again, we will tie in the exercises from point number two. It is of the utmost importance that the exercises you perform to address the pain, tension, discomfort, tightness, and stiffness in your knee benefit the knee twofold, where the exercise that you're doing will both stretch and strengthen the knee joint. Once again, I can't emphasize this one enough. The exercises that you're doing, it's crucial that they both stretch and strengthen the knee joint at the same time. I cannot emphasize this enough as to how important it is to incorporate the correct exercises in your recovery program from your knee pain. If you are not doing the correct exercises, you are increasing the tension in your body, making it more difficult for you to get over what you're trying to get rid of, namely your knee pain. You are essentially working against your body, making it more difficult for yourself in the long run. And that ties it up for point number three. Okay. Point number four. And that is on breathing. So what does breathing have to do with it, you say? Well, breathing is the essence of life. We make sure a person is still alive by seeing if they are breathing or not. We mark the time of a baby's birth at the point when they take their first breath. Breathing is so key and so essential to life that we can't live without it. Yet how many times do we find ourselves throughout a normal day holding our breath? I took a wilderness training class a few years ago, and they told us about the priority of things to look at in a survival situation. And it went something like this. You can't survive 3 minutes without air, 3 days without water, 3 weeks without food. So air was pretty high on the priority list for survival. This point also ties into the last two of my key points regarding exercise and stretching. You see, when you breathe deeply, you begin to tap into your nervous system and relax your body. Now I'm going to talk about your nervous system a little bit. There are two main aspects of your nervous system: the sympathetic nervous system and the parasympathetic nervous system. Once again, that's sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous systems. The sympathetic nervous system is what people are talking about when they say fight, flight, or freeze. This is the part of your nervous system that a long time ago kicked in when you saw the bear in the woods and needed to make a choice as to what to do to survive. It kicks in especially in stressful situations to keep you alive. This part of your nervous system kicks adrenaline to make sure you can get out of that stressful situation. You probably have heard of people lifting real heavy objects off of children in a crisis situation. That's the part of the nervous system I'm talking about. The other part of the nervous system is the parasympathetic nervous system. It is the rest and relax part of your nervous system. This is the part that says you got to eat, rest, and take it easy for a while. The problem you run into with your knee pain is the sympathetic part of your nervous system doesn't get shut off due to the way the pain engages it. It keeps going and going and going. Kind of like the Energizer Bunny, just not in a good way. This plays havoc on your knees as well as the rest of your body. some of the symptoms you will notice as a result of your sympathetic nervous system locked in the on position are hypertension, increased heart rate, increased sweating, difficulty to digest food, difficulty to sleep, difficulty thinking, like brain fog, and easily irritable, like snapping at loved ones. And the list goes on and on. So you may be asking yourself, Bill, what does this have to do with breathing, and more importantly, my knee pain? Well, here's the thing. When you are doing correct exercises that both stretch and strengthen the tendons and the ligaments in your knee, and then begin to incorporate proper breathing, you begin to actively engage the parasympathetic aspect of your nervous system and relax both the knee pain as well as reduce the tension and stress built up in your nervous system due to your knee injury. So let me cover proper breathing here for a moment. Proper breathing is defined as a smooth flow of air in through your nose and out through your mouth. There are a couple of reasons to do proper breathing when doing a correct exercise longer than 7 seconds in order to strengthen the tendons and the ligaments. The main reason, and it may sound obvious, is that you don't pass out. Because if you pass out, you fall over and hurt yourself, you have a whole host of other issues that you will have to deal with instead of just your knee pain. So make sure you breathe. The second reason is you begin to control your movements, making them smooth and fluid. Similar to that of a cat's. This is opposite of where the movements are controlling you. You're confined by that pain and tension you're feeling in your knee. I go into this in a lot more greater depth in my ebook, Stop Your Knee Pain Now. Okay, we're going to be covering the last point here shortly, and then we're going to be answering some questions. So if you want to make sure you get your question answered, you can begin sending them in now, and I will get to them shortly. You can go to that opt-in page for the seminar, and at the bottom of the page, you can go ahead and submit your question in the Q&A box and fill in your name and your city, and then click submit, and I will get those questions and be answering those shortly here online. The next point I'm going to cover is point number 5, and it's on diet. This point is just as important as point number 1 on water. Everything, and I mean everything, we put in our bodies has a pH level. pH in the body is defined as a measure of the acidity or alkalinity of a solution. And that, if you did a Wikipedia search for pH, you can find that definition. The scale generally goes from 1 being acidic to 14 being alkaline. Scientists will measure a pH being neutral at 7. So that's like halfway between 1 and 14. So the more we move towards an acidic state, the lower the number. So as you go from 7, you go to 6 and 5 and 4 and 3, it's getting more acidic. And the more like battery acid a solution is measured as. The opposite is true. The higher the number, moving towards 14, meaning going from 7 being neutral, going 8, 9, 10, 11, a solution is considered more basic or alkaline. The internal state of the body is ideally 7.4 for optimal health. The lower number, the lower this number gets, the more acidic the internal state of the body gets, creating a condition for things to break down and decay. This is a state where disease will set in. So remember when I said in the beginning regarding water and how when the body doesn't have enough water, the internal state becomes more acidic. This acidic state can settle in the joints, irritating the nerve endings and giving you the perception of knee pain. The same holds true with your diet. Every bit of food you eat has an acid-alkaline measurement. And you guessed it, the more acidic food you eat, the more acidic state you create on the inside of your body. Now, this is not to say never eat acidic foods, because there are acidic foods which are beneficial to your body. However, what I am talking about is the fact that when an entire diet just consists of food that create an acidic state in the body, it doesn't matter how much water you drink, you may never be able to raise the pH level of your body high enough to create an internal state that will allow your body to begin to be able to heal itself. The more natural a diet you can eat, and I mean closer to the natural original state food comes in, the better off you are. Here are some examples. Fresh vegetables as opposed to canned vegetables. Fresh meats as opposed to meats heavily processed and or canned. Fresh fruits as opposed to processed sugared fruits. And the same goes with grains and breads. A good guide to go by when at a grocery store is to stay on the outer edges where all of the fresh fruit is that will spoil in a relatively short period of time. This, of course, translates over to include the pain that is going on in your knees. This is crucial not only to your knee pain, but also to your overall health. The more natural a diet you can eat, the better you and your knees are going to be. Okay, so now that covers knee point number 5. So let me check on those questions. Here we have Sanjay. Here's the question. My dad, who is 70 plus years old, has knee pain. We did all the medical tests and medication, and doctors advised him this is a common problem of old age. In layman's terms, the tissues underneath the kneecap are finished, and due to which results in knee pain. Is there any advice you can give to avoid this pain and be normal as usual? If any cream or diet or any other such possibility would be preferred. Okay. Once again, this goes back to, I'm going to refer to point number one and point number five. A lot of times as people get older, it's more difficult for the body to absorb water. You could kind of think of it like an old sponge, a sponge that's been sitting around and has been dried out severely. And when you first get it, first get water on it, it takes a little bit of working that with that sponge in the water before the sponge gets back to being able to be more pliable. And a lot of times that happens with people that are dehydrated when you have chronic dehydration. That Dr. Batman-Geldy wrote that book, You're Not Sick, You're Thirsty. That really goes into in-depth on how the effect of chronic dehydration has an impact on the joints, especially in the knees. So that would be one of the things I'm going to throw out there that would be a good direction to go in is get that book as well as start drinking more water. One of the things about the water piece that I did not cover is, you know, how much water you drink, do you drink? And in Dr. B's book, I'm going to refer to him as Dr. B, he was saying that you want to go to a point where your urine is clear. Now, of course, if you're taking different vitamins or mineral supplements, this is going to change the color of your urine. Or let's say you drink beet juice or have beets for dinner, that's going to have an effect on your urine color. So take that into consideration. The point of it is you want to continually be flushing out your kidneys to keep a lot of water going through there, and that's going to increase the pH level in your body, allowing the joints to get flushed out, reversing that acidic state and backing off the pain that you're feeling in the knees. The other aspect of it is the diet, and I believe I covered that in the last point. Getting back to the most natural state that the food would come in. Fresh fruits and vegetables, fresh meats, fresh cheeses, things that are not heavily processed, things that you know, have their own wrapper, so to speak. That would be the best as far as diet goes. And I am not a nutrition specialist. However, that would be definitely a direction you want to go in. I know there's lots of books out there that address pH level in the body, the foods that you eat. One that comes to mind is called the pH Miracle that you may want to do some research on. Cream. There is a homeopathic cream called Tramiel. That is Tramiel. It comes in both a cream and an ointment that you can put topically on your knees that has no side effects, that does really well. I used to compete a lot in judo, martial arts, and what happened was I banged myself up for a lot of years, and that got me through a lot of years of and a number of different injuries. So once again, that's a Tramiel, Tramiel. It's made by a company called Borion, Borion, I believe. And you can do searches on the internet for those, and there are, you know, tons of sites that'll come up that has information on those. So, Let me go to another question. Okay, this question comes from Carmen. Bill, my problem is pain in both knees, apparently near the surface. I cannot kneel on either knee without getting severe pain in the knee. Pain seems to be on the outer part of the knee. Any ideas? I'm going to a neurologist to see if the problem is nerves. Well, of course, if you're experiencing pain, the nerves are being affected. So there's not always a short, easy answer to address knee pain, because the knee is only the symptom. There's usually a bigger picture of what's going on in the body that needs to be looked at. Kind of like the weakest link, we have tension from our head to our feet, and the part that hurts is not necessarily what's wrong. It's just the weakest link in the series of tension from the head to the feet. So, in addressing the knee pain, that's why I gave those five key points today, in looking at water and looking at your diet and looking at the exercises you do and the stretching that you do and the breathing that you do, because it all goes together. It's a complete package that needs to be looked at to get you past the knee pain that you're feeling. So I'd suggest, and I've had clients who all they did was start drinking water and their knee pain went away, which I think is great. So I'm going to throw out there, Carmen, try drinking more water. Of course, see what your neurologist says. This, you know, once again, I'm going to cover the fact that this does not replace any sound medical advice. This is just where I'm coming from and what worked for me and the clients that I worked with. So if your neurologist is saying something different, please absolutely follow their advice. So, okay, Carmen, hopefully that answers your question. If that doesn't, please email me again. Okay, let's see. We got some other questions. Okay, we got a question from Bolivar. Oh, boy. I had ACL surgery on Monday. That's what I had. This is very painful. I'm taking painkillers. What can I else can I do to bear the pain besides drugs? Yes, that's going to take a while. ACL surgery is a very, very painful procedure. For those that aren't familiar, there's a ligament in between the main bone in your upper leg and the main bone in your lower leg that the ACL, the anterior cruciate ligament, the ligament in your knee, attaches to. And what happens is when you stop too quick or twist, do something, that ligament, which is about the thickness of a number two pencil, can tear, and it pops, which is what I heard. Anyhow, what they do is there's a couple different surgeries they do. One is a patella replacement, which is the patella tendon. Your patella is your kneecap, and they slice long ways along the tendon in your knee and do a makeshift ligament in your knee with the tendon. They put a pin in the bone in the lower leg and a pin in the bone in the upper leg and connect that tendon with that. They also do the same thing with the hamstring. They'll take part of your hamstring and connect it as well. They'll also do it with cadavers, which are people who are donating organs after they pass away. And they'll use cadavers especially for professional athletes. Anyhow, you have ACL surgery. First thing I'm going to want to do is drink a ton of water because you have the anesthesia that's going on in your body from the surgery. So you're going to want to flush that out. That's going to make things even more miserable. You're going to want to clean up your diet. You don't want to have any cut out in a good rules to go by is no white sugar, no white flour, and no dairy. And those are the three biggies that create an acidic state in your body. So by removing those, you remove the acid-forming things you're putting in your body, increasing the alkalinity, and that allows your body to heal itself quicker. So that's going to help you to deal with all the stuff that's going on from the surgery. And stick with the breathing. You know, in through your nose, out through your mouth. The more painful something is, the faster you want to breathe. Once again, I go into that stuff really in depth in my ebook, Stop Your Knee Pain Now. So, as well as I'll also suggest that Tramiel, as I did for one of the previous questions. Once again, Tramiel, T-R-A-U-M-E-E-L, and it comes in both a topical and sublingual. Topical meaning an ointment or a cream that you can put on the knee. Of course, you don't want to put it where the incision was for the surgery. However, you can put it on other places that have swelling and pain as a result of that. Another thing you can do which helps significantly is getting Tramiel, they call them sublingual tablets, or it's a liquid that you would take orally. And, of course, I'm not prescribing any of this. You can go to a local health food store or check for it online and see if that resonates with you, if that works for what you would like to work with as far as getting over that pain. However, it worked for me, and it is phenomenal as far as how it gets the body over the pain. And what's really nice about it is it doesn't tax your liver. That's the big thing, is that you're able to it's not a pain-killing product in the sense of where it's really going to affect your liver. And that's one of the things you want to consider and look at. Okay, another question. We're going to have to wrap this up here pretty quick. I'll answer this one as quickly as I can. I had an x-ray on my knee, and I've been told I have calcium in my cartilage and the start of osteo in my knee joint. If I walk a lot, my knee is bad for days. The pain is on the inside of my knee just below the joint. I get a stinging pain a lot, sometimes like a toothache. Hope you can give me some advice. Gene. Okay, Gene. Here's the deal. Short, sweet, and to the point. I'm assuming what they're saying is osteoarthritis. And I had this really interesting discovery not too long ago. I have a very good friend who is an anesthesiologist. And she got me some MRIs of what arthritis looks like in a knee joint. And it was the coolest thing. It looks like battery acid is eating away at the joint. Because with the arthritis, it begins to eat away at the joint. Well, it made total sense with the research that I was doing regarding the water with Dr. B, where there's an acidic state in the joint. So it was kind of tying together. So what I'm going to say is you're going to want to start drinking water. That's going to be absolutely important for you to start drinking water and get that going pretty regularly and see how that begins to change what's going on in your knee. So, okay, that is the last question we will take today. So let's have a recap real quick. We went over the analogy of our body functioning like a car. All the parts of the car dependent on all the other parts of the car in order for the car to function smoothly and run well. We talked about how ignoring what is going on in your body regarding your knee pain is like pulling the fuse for the check oil light in your car, setting you up for an even worse scenario for your knees down the road. We talked about the five key points to getting over your knee pain and the importance of each. Water, exercises specifically for your knee, stretching, proper breathing, and diet. So that covers everything we talked about. And I hope this teleseminar was helpful and shed some light to help you see your knee pain differently. For those that are listening, I have set up a special offer for my ebook. So if you would like the link, I'm about to read it right now. It is www.freepainkneepain.com/ebook.html. I made a special offer for the people that are on this call. What you do with the information presented here today is even more important than the information presented. Take a moment to think about and write down what your takeaways are, meaning what are the big ahas you had or insights you discovered. And most importantly, what are the action steps you are going to take immediately? This information is only good if you put it into action. One of my mentors said to me, that is the difference between information and knowledge. Information you just hear and forget. Knowledge is information you put into action. I want to thank you all very much for being here.